Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. Joining me, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave,
hey, hi. Steve. Good to see you.
Good to see you, as always. And also, Amanda Anderson is with us. She's a Bible teacher. She's working recovery, and we're glad to have her on today. You can join us. We've got all the calls lined up, but at a future program, you can call 1-800-229-3000. Right now, if you need some help, we'd love for you to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And I'm going to just kick the program off by saying that it is a reality that a lot of times over the holidays, we get stuck in grief. We kind of glide along, and then the holiday comes, and it's tough. And if you're facing this holiday, maybe the first holiday that you've had without somebody you care deeply about, well, maybe one of the most helpful things that you could do is decide that you are literally going to talk to somebody else about this isn't so easy. I hate this about the Christian community is that we think we've got to act strong rather than, like when Jesus was really struggling, he told those guys in the garden, I need you helping me out here. I need you praying with me. Watch with me. Don't be falling asleep. He was inviting people to come alongside him in the midst of his struggle. And that's what you need to do if you are grieving. David, we've seen it over the years. Silence really is a killer.
Oh,
it doesn't help anybody.
And so being able to talk with somebody about what you're grieving. A lot of it goes back to early experiences and where there was a lot of disappointment, a lot of hurt. And the holidays bring it up because it brings up family stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you can talk to somebody about it, it's a beginning of change and transformation.
Well, I like to remind people that if there's anybody in your life that you have to fake it to be worthy of their respect, you have to act like you don't have any problems to be worthy of them thinking highly of you, then they're not worth it. You need
That's
to move
point.
On to somebody else that can accept you for who you are. Because, I mean, Amanda, you see it all the time. People struggling together, it's totally different than trying to survive on your own.
It's true. And I think Christmas is a time for women particularly, that they feel a lot of pressure to be the magic makers in their family. I just spent the last 10 days, I spoke at 4 different women's Christmas brunches about Christmas and about how Christmas is our midpoint in our faith. We're still waiting for all of God's promises to be fulfilled. And I had so many women contact me afterwards to say they feel so much pressure to be joyful and triumphant in December. Mm-hmm. And Jesus came for the downtrodden and the grieving. And so they needed to be reminded of that. And we all need to be reminded that Jesus is just as much with us in our grief as when we feel joyful.
The joy is at Easter.
Yeah.
Joy is at Easter.
I'm confident that if we knew your family, we'd be depressed too.
My family?
No.
Because my mom might be listening, Steve.
That there are folks, and they think, oh, you know, I shouldn't be so sad. Here's this family. Look, one of the things about being an adult is realizing, no, it wasn't the perfect family. And there's a lot of sickness out there.
It's true.
And so a great, great thing you can do for yourself. Don't struggle alone. Reach out and get some help. We'll get some more tips after this. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us here today. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Amanda Anderson, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're going to go to Andrew from Long Island, New York. Andrew, how are you today?
Hey, how's it going, Steve? I'm well.
Great. What's going on with you today?
So I have a question. I've been following you guys on and off for, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years. Me and my wife, we're strong. We've been married for about a year. We're strong, relatively strong, mature Christians. We've been about 8 years. We've been coming back to the Christian faith. So I've read, like I said, I've read your Boundaries book a few times over the years. So the thing is that I want to know my wife's, I guess I would say, character defects would be like stubbornness, busyness, and perfectionism are strongholds, right? So I guess, from what I did, I avoided setting some specific boundaries because I thought it would create a problem. I think I did that subconsciously, and so I ended up recently getting angry a few times. And I don't yell. I don't usually raise my voice, and that was happening. And I actually cursed once or twice, and I haven't cursed in about 5 years. So I knew that there was a red flag there. So I went back and I re-looked, and I said, you know what? I think I need to set a boundaries with the stubbornness, and that, because I've been asking for it. I need quality. I would like quality time. That's something that's important to me. We've read the 5 love languages. We try to, you know, go back and forth or whatever. And I just feel, like I said, I've told her, I feel unheard of, unloved, and not respected in terms of this. You know, a lot of her busyness or perfection or stubborn gets in the way sometimes. So sometimes when I'll ask her, I'll challenge her, she'll just be like, oh, you know, please don't use the phone at dinner or this and that. She'll have like the reaction. Like I said, she's very mature in the Lord for the most part, but she'll have these reactions of just like, oh, you know, make like an excuse that like an immature 16-year-old would make instead of like what we're doing. And it just comes out of nowhere. And I feel all those things. So recently I set a boundary because I haven't yelled anymore. I'm not yelling anymore. So I said, if you choose to act like this, you know, she wasn't hearing me. I said, I don't feel unheard of love. And she kind of blew me off. So I said, if you choose to act like this, I choose not to be around you today. And we ended up missing our family pictures. And my intention was not to punish her. I understand how the boundaries work. I told her sometimes consequences are a byproduct of setting boundaries. And she insisted that I was punishing her. And that wasn't my heart. And I know I couldn't be fooled and deceived. I asked God to remove my pride and all this. But she doesn't think that I have the right to set boundaries unless there's some kind of abuse, like yelling
okay.
or
now,
drug use.
I want you to hold on just a second, because I want to address what you've said so far, because you've said a lot. How old is your wife, and how old are you?
I'm 34. She's 35.
And how long did you know each other before you got married?
We knew each other for about, I would say, a year, year and a half.
And you've been married how long?
The Lord spoke to me. I'm sorry.
How long have you been married?
Married for about a year, a little bit less.
About a year. Okay. It really does sound like that there are some things that she does that are insensitive. And in response to that, it sounds like you really are trying to either control her, or it does sound a little negative and punitive in this first year where you're trying to adjust to each other. But I'm going to ask Dave to start us off and give you his best advice on what to do in a situation where you feel like she's got a lot of stuff going, she's not sensitive to your needs, and you want things to change. What do you think, Dave?
Well, one of the things, you're both in your mid-30s. That means you've been single a long time, used to running your own life, and she's been used to running her own life, and you expect everything to all of a sudden change once you get married, and it doesn't all of a sudden change. I would forget about boundaries, and I would begin to think about mutuality. How can
there
we work together?
Yeah,
because that's the piece that's missing. It's almost like, as I listen to you, it was almost like daddy was talking instead of the husband talking.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe that there was an age disparity here, because it did sound like you were relating more to her as a father than as a husband. And you know, I'm going to send you this book, Every Man's Marriage, because it is it's a book about mutual submission and how we can move toward each other. I'm going to encourage you, and I'll let Dave finish here, but I'm going to encourage you maybe to say, hey, let's get that picture, that Christmas picture done. I think I might have been a little too harsh. I'm taking a second look at this. Listen to this. I love you enough that I'm willing to take a second look at all of the things that I'm doing. I think that's a better, this mutuality thing, I think that's a better approach than here's the boundary, you don't change, then I'm going to get stuck with this. Especially, as Dave's saying, mid-30s, just married. Dave, anything else there?
No, that summarizes it quite well. I think you got to learn how to negotiate with each other as equals. Because go to 1 Peter 3:7, and spend some time on that passage where it says if you don't understand your wife, then your prayers will be hindered, and you don't want that to happen.
Right.
Yeah, and Amanda, I'm wondering if Amanda has a thought about codependency here. Anything you're thinking along those lines?
Well, I'm just thinking in terms of codependency is a way that we try to control others' emotions to make us feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I've been married for almost 20 years, and if my husband and I had an agreement like, when you're not giving me the love and respect I need, then I'm going to choose not to be around you, that would really limit the amount of time that we spend together.
Yeah.
Because instead we have to lean in and say things like, can I have a do-over because I don't feel like you heard me just then? As opposed to, since you're not giving me the respect that I feel is owed to me, I have to walk away. That I hear more punitive in that too. I'm sorry to say.
All right. Okay. So let me send you Every Man's Marriage. I think that's going to be a big help to you. And then I'm also going to send you Take Your Life Back. And there, I think a lot of people have told me, and that's why we wrote it, Dave. You learn to respond to each other rather than react. And boy, we need all the help that we can get. We really do believe in boundaries, but I'll tell you, in that first year of marriage here, it's a tough one. And the later you are when you get married, the tougher it is. And it's a time of finding what is it we both need to adjust so that we can be one and we can go through this and really experience God's design for marriage. All right, let's go to, how about John, Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, John. Welcome to New Life. What's going on?
Okay, hi. Me and my wife are both Christians, have been for a long time. I had a daughter, personally my daughter, before we got married. And, you know, I would always try to minister to my daughter the best I could. She didn't live with me. She grew up with her mom and pretty much a, you know, single household. But anyway, you know, and I would always bring up, you know, something about going to church, and she did. And basically what happened is she told me, she said, Daddy, you're going to be really happy. I met this guy, and he's a Christian. And I was happy. And we went to their church, the church that he wanted to go to. And then recently, in the past year or two, I would say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, so on and so forth, Happy Birthday. And she'd say, Daddy, we do not partake in that. We do not celebrate Christmas, Easter, thinking that these things are pagan holidays, and I don't believe that they are. And so my question is, what is the best way for me to approach him and her to sit down and talk to them about maybe celebrating Christmas? And you know, I don't think they're Jehovah's Witness. I don't know exactly what to say, but I can't even call my daughter and say happy birthday. I can't, you know, when we,
yeah,
at Christmas time, we'll celebrate it at my sister's house. I can't call her and say, well, why don't y'all come on over and celebrate with us, because they don't celebrate.
Right.
So
well,
it's
you
a
know,
little bit confusing
I wanna,
to me. My wife
yeah.
told me that I should just go sit down and talk with them. But I
John,
don't know how
John,
to, I don't want to debate.
John.
You know.
John.
Yes.
Your daughter married somebody who has influenced her, I believe, in an extreme way. And I don't think, I think it's always good to express how you feel and all of that. I don't know that that's going to do a tremendous amount of good, because there's a lot invested in this kind of thinking and this kind of theology. Now, here's the deal. I believe Jesus came and was born in a little manger, and rather than a bunch of princesses and princes being told first, some shepherds who were a bunch of lowlifes, they were the ones that were told about his birth. And I believe that when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus was born and came to earth to die for people like you and me. Not celebrities, not big shots, but normal, everyday people. Now, it would be extremely difficult for you to tell me that that's a pagan celebration. Somebody, over the thousands of years of existence, might have used this time to celebrate in some kind of pagan way, but that doesn't mean I do it, and that doesn't mean you do it. It's silly, and it's focusing on a very, very remote and unlikely outcome for a lot of people surrounding these holidays. And I'm really sorry that your daughter got involved with someone that led her down this path. But you love her, and you stick with her, and you let her know that nothing she can do will ever cause you not to love her. Those are the things that'll have an impact over time. Having a discussion about this, it's going to be pretty tough for you to persuade her to abandon this path that she's gone down. Dave, your thoughts here?
I think you ought to have a talk with her in terms of how it's affecting your feelings as and connection with her,
mm-hmm.
in terms of
yeah,
how
good.
You connect with each other. But don't make it a theological issue, because there are pagan things attached to our celebrations, but they are secondary, because as long as the focus stays on the purpose of the holidays, there's no paganism in that purpose, like you just said, Steve, in describing it. But I wouldn't get into a theological discussion with her. I would get into a family connection. You feel like she's isolating from you because of some of her beliefs, and how can we come together and still enjoy each other and enjoy our company as a family?
Yeah. Amanda, a thought here before we go?
I just agree with everything you gentlemen have said. I can see, as a father, you might feel like your daughter's taken a position of judgment. She's judging something that you've always done, and that can be painful. But you have the opportunity to still have time together, and that's what I would focus on, is we want to have an ability to continue to connect with you. So how can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really sad, and we do understand. We you know, in seminary, they teach us all about the pagan holidays and all of those kinds of things. Don't practice pagan things. Celebrating the birth of Jesus, that's not pagan. That's pagan.
Celebrating the resurrection is not pagan.
And somebody might say, well, a Christmas tree that has a pagan meaning. Hey, our Christmas tree doesn't have a pagan meaning. We got a bunch of pictures of our kids and stuff that we made ornaments out of. That's what we celebrate is the Christmases we've been through together. Give me a break. We got enough evil in this world to confront, rather than to go down these little rabbit trails and make this huge, huge thing out of it. Hey, we got to keep our marriages together. We got to keep our kids out of pornography. These are the things that are the pagan practices of our society. And I'm just grateful in the midst of all the paganicity and paganosity that you see celebrities singing little Christmas carols about Jesus. I often wonder, do you know who you're singing about? I don't know if they know or not. I just wonder, in times of trouble, some of those words and those lyrics come back to them in those difficult times. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to see you at the Finding Freedom Workshop, January the 25th. You call us. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we've got Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. Let's take a break from helping folks and ask you to help us. Larry, what do you have to say today?
Well, I want them to help others.
Okay.
I want them to make a gift that would just bless the socks off of so many people who get help from New Life. And I want to encourage them to please make your year-end gift now, that so many people wait until the 30th or 31st of December, and I'm not going to ever complain that we get those gifts. But if the timing can be moved up, if it's not a big inconvenience, if it's a way you can help us now, that makes a big difference in what we can do with that money sooner than later.
And we're getting close to that time anyway.
Yes, so. We are.
And, you know, when you support us, we put it to use. I mean, we put people into workshops that they need that they couldn't afford. We help people get the counseling that they need. I mean, we keep the cost down. We cut the cost. We do whatever we can to be sure your dollar goes as far as it possibly can go.
Steve, a lady, a nurse, wrote a note, and she said, I strongly believe that without the work of you and your site colleagues, I would be seeing more suicide attempts, more child abuse cases, more battered wives, more psychiatric admissions, you guys are the Navy SEALs of nursing. And she goes on to say she donated 70 times 7. She donated $490. So I just wanted to encourage folks. I think that's pretty exciting that somebody recognizes the preventative side of what we do by helping people not do things that they hear other people doing.
Yeah, 1-800.
We've had testimonies to that.
Yeah,
1-800-NEW-LIFE to call us. We'll send you 71 of the best teachings if you join Club New Life. I mean, what a great thing when people join Club New Life. $30 a month. But maybe they just have $10, one-time gift. We love everybody getting on board with giving to New Life.
Thank you. Let's get back to the call.
1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's the number to call. If you can help us, it's also the number to call if you need some help. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Freddie, Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Freddie, how you doing? What's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Freddie.
Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yep. What's happening?
Well, I'm calling because the screener asked me, and I was trying to just sum up basically my whole life in one question. And I think what it is that I'm angry and probably resentful towards my parents. And I feel like that has seeped into my other relationships. I am 27, engaged for a year now. I'm about to get married in 4 or 5 months. And I feel like that's an issue for me, and I'm just wondering, what can I do? I've read several books, and they've been very interesting, very helpful.
What are you so angry about? Why are you angry at your parents?
Well, I still live with them. They're divorced, and they both go to separate churches. But I know. My mom still speaks with a gentleman that, in a way, caused the divorce. And my father is getting married secretively, withholding that information from his children. And overall, he acts secretive. He ignores me. He makes me feel very bad because, you know, that's my father. And it's hard to respect him when he treats me a certain way. And I don't know. It's just, and my mother... You know, she's going to church, but I know in the side, she's carrying on a relationship with someone who, you know, just to say it simply, is not good in my eyes, anyways. And so I feel like I'm ending up having to take a father figure for my younger siblings, and since there's that breakdown of the communication within the family, I feel like my sister is easily attracted to guys who perhaps are filling in the void of a father for her, and I just get angry about that, and I'm worried that might seep into my relationship with my fiance, with my soon-to-be wife.
Well, if you stay angry, it absolutely will, but that wouldn't be the fault of your parents. You know that, right?
Right.
Like, I would not be angry for you being angry with them. I would hurt for you, but I wouldn't be angry. And I'm just well, Dave. What are you thinking here about his anger versus his disappointment, hurt, things like that?
You got to move it from anger to disappointment and hurt, Freddie, because there's no way you're going to change either one of them, and that means you've got to accept the reality of what is. And as painful as that is, that leads to hurt and disappointment. But the anger will lead to resentment, which will infect your own marriage at some point if you don't get past it. You got to get past it.
And so if I'm at the verge of that, because I have felt disappointment and resentment.
No, not resentment.
What can I do?
Well, you have to grieve. Go ahead, Amanda.
Freddie, I'm seeing you as a 27-year-old young man about to get married, and I think it's time for you to move out of your parents' house. You're in a situation that's causing you frustration daily, and you have a choice to not be there. In CODA recovery, we say that we only help people who are asking for our help as we recover. And I don't hear your parents asking you for accountability. I don't hear them asking you to give them life direction. And that's not your role. So letting go of the need to try to control them and fix their life is going to keep you stuck. It's time for you to take control of your own life.
Amen.
I truly agree with that. But then what do I do with my younger siblings? I still feel like I...
Well, you can still care for them, and you can still be a resource for them.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Amanda Anderson, Dr. Dave Stoop. And just to kind of summarize there for Freddie, you grieve the loss of the parents that you wish you'd had. You get through it. You get over it. You get into counseling. You do whatever it takes.
Send them forgiving our parents, forgiving ourselves.
I will.
And take your life back.
Because here's the thing. The Bible says leave and cleave. If you're angry at your parents, you don't leave. You bring and scream as a result. So don't do that. So can't encourage you enough there, buddy. Get the counseling. It will impact that marriage so, so much. You'll be doing yourself such a favor, and her, and everybody else around you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need a counselor, if you need some help, we would be very, very happy to help you there. Let's talk with Laura. Ellicott City, Maryland is the station. Laura, how you doing? What's going on?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Thank you for your ministry. I'm a mother of four from the ages of 5 to 12. My oldest daughter, who is 10 in fifth grade this year, she made a friend with a boy in school who is the same age, same grade. And we have since learned that I'd like some advice on how best to minister to him when he is with our family. He comes from a very broken home. I don't know that his parents were ever married, but they are separate now. He lives with his mother, and his mother has a woman living with her. I do not know absolutely the essence of the relationship, but he calls them both mother.
How is he being
treated?
And
his father still lives in the area, has a separate family.
How's he being treated?
As far as I can see, I don't see any indication of abuse.
Okay.
But he's definitely very lonely. He does not have very many friends at school. My daughter came to me a couple of times in the last few weeks with concerns that he is constantly making comments, very negative comments about himself, how stupid he is, he's a loser. He gets very jealous when she hangs out with her girlfriends. And gets angry, and we've had some really good conversations that, you know, he's very angry. You have the kind of life that he wants. You have a family that's normal, and he gets angry. He doesn't know how to handle his anger. He doesn't know how to handle his feelings. But I don't know
what to do. Your husband and you are together, is that right?
I'm sorry?
Your husband and you are together, is that right?
Yes.
Seems like to me he could really help a little guy like this. You know, whenever.
True, and we've talked about that. My husband works two jobs and sleeps in the afternoons. One is overnight. When he's around, yes. But unfortunately, just our physical situation at the moment.
Is he around for your daughter?
As often as he can be, yes.
Oh. Well, I think you guys ought to, you know, do whatever you can to work on that, you know. And I feel bad for you if he's having to work so much he's not home much. Dave, your thoughts on this little guy and just the whole home situation there?
Well, I think you have a ministry, Laura, going in terms of example and just creating a normal setting for him. And I would affirm him. And I think what Steve was getting at is if your husband could take him out to breakfast on the weekend or something when he's not working, that would be a real plus, because the boy needs a male figure in his life, and his dad's not going to be there. Maybe that's why God has sent him into your family, to be that kind of an example.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that also healthy boundaries are important as this young fellow is hanging out with your kids too, that you provide also healthy boundaries. You as an adult are in a position to help a 10-year-old boy, but your 10-year-old daughter should not be bearing the burden of a child with behavioral problems. You can correct me if I'm wrong here, Dr. Sue,
but that's right.
I have a 11-year-old daughter, and we don't want to raise our children to believe that they should tolerate negative, destructive behavior toward them because someone is hurting. That is a huge burden to ask your 10-year-old to bear. So when the boy is in the house and we see anger or he's being unkind to your daughter, it's okay to tell him, we don't speak to each other that way here. Is there something you need to talk about? But make sure that doesn't become a burden. Your daughter has to be his only friend at school. That's too much for a 10-year-old to hold on to.
Well, and even if this young boy is kind to her, it's important that she knows that just to be a Christian doesn't mean that she has to sacrifice time with her friends because he hates it so much. When she's not with him. So that's really good insight there, Amanda, and you'll want to help her to know how to be an appropriate friend and not take on all of those burdens. And, you know, whatever you can do, I think we just want to love that little guy and help him the best possible. And, you know, if you ever sense that this negative feeling about himself comes from some very abusive language or something like that, then, you know, that's where you have to get outside help from, you know, the authorities and ask them to step in. I'm not sensing that that's the situation there, but it sure sounds like he's a very, very distraught, confused little guy. And I don't blame him. I'd be the same way. So whatever you can do to help, that would be great, and not let your daughter get trapped into some situation that she doesn't really understand. Anything else you guys want to say here?
No, just keep that balance. Make sure you don't neglect your own daughter.
Yeah. All right. I'm really glad that you called, and, you know, let's send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. There's some really, really great stuff in there on how to appropriately respond to folks, not react, but to respond. And that's what I want to see. And then I'll send you How We Love Our Kids, Mylon Kay's book, and all of that great stuff in How We Love. Well, it's part of that that book, and just really helps kids get off to a great start when we implement some of the stuff from that book there. Anybody else want a copy of that? It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and that is the number that you can call whenever you're interested in a workshop, a counselor, a resource, a book, a Bible. So many great resources that you can get at newlife.com, and a lot of great presents, and we'll get it to you just as quickly as we can get it shipped. And at last minute, boy, it's a great thing to have, to know that every resource we have is one that's it's been tested, and it's tried and true, and you can count on it to be something that is going to be honoring of God's truth, but also very helpful in the life of somebody that is struggling. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Diane, Tyler, Texas. Listens on the New Life Out. How you doing?
Hello. Thank you Hi. For taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I've been married since 2003, and my husband has had multiple affairs, about five. And this time, my question is, do I stay or leave? This time, he is willing to do any and everything to stay. He doesn't want a divorce. He will do anything I asked him to save the marriage. But before, he wasn't, you know, when he apologized or got caught, it was like some of the things that I asked him to do, he wouldn't do, he refused to do. And at this point, I'm just like, this is it, because this is his fifth time. What makes it different this time?
Diane, is this five different women or five different incidences in the same relationship?
Five different incidents. I've caught him on websites. He's had an extra phone line, pictures in his telephone. One
okay.
woman was in my. It's a picture of a woman in my house.
Oh boy. Hmm. Okay.
Well, you know, what it's so sad to me is that he's sitting around waiting for you to tell him what to do. What has he done? Has he picked up the phone? Has he called somebody for help?
He did. He did.
Okay, good.
He did call my father, and I know that seems maybe like a weird person to call, but... He is a minister.
Well, he's being transparent. That's good.
That's a good first step. Yeah. We'll talk more right after this.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Diane's with a husband. Fifth time he's cheated here, and she's wanting to know what to do. Dave, what do you think he ought to do?
Well, I think you ought to start with every man's battle, and then all of the things that are set up in that. You ought to talk about counseling, him going himself. Well, I don't know that him going himself would be very important. I think it'd be going together. But the counseling focuses on him. But I have
a
question.
He needs to be in a recovery group, right? And,
yeah,
and go to every man's battle. That's bottom line. But you have a question for her then, Dave?
Yeah. Why did you wait for number five?
I didn't want to leave him. My heart, I still loved him.
Yeah, but
I
wish you had called an end to it after two.
Together. I still loved him.
Yeah,
but you can see that by not doing the hard thing, you might have prolonged the problem, right?
Yeah, I do see that. That's why I say, like, my heart says, even right now, I want to stay, but my brain says, no, it's over.
Yeah. Well, I just let it be up to him. And okay, so every man's battle, you find a way to get there. If you don't have the money to get there, earn it. Have a lemonade stand, whatever. You go to group. Let me see how you do. We'll talk about what's going to happen after you've been doing this for a while.
Okay.
We have an expression I want to share with you in recovery. We say, when the sound and the picture don't match up, we hit mute and watch the picture. So you know where his intentions are based on his actions, not what he says. So he's got to take action.
And I say that all the time. We don't care what he says. All we care about
is what he does.
What he does.
How consistent he is.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I'm really glad that you called, and I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle, and he needs to read it, and then he needs to go to the workshop. And just so you know, we've got a workshop for you called Restore, and I hope you'll get there. Elaine, I don't have a lot of time, but you're my final caller. I did want to get to your call. You'll have to be brief in the question. How could we help you today?
Okay, here's the question. I have a daughter. She's in her early 20s, and my husband and I believe that she probably has some sort of a personality disorder. And last night I was speaking with her, and she was upset and said to me, you know, I want to have a relationship with you, adult to adult, woman to woman, which, of course, that's what I want, too. She's in her early 20s, but she's made our lives living hell, and the whole family. But anyway, bottom line is, she shared something with me last night, had me upset, what she shared, I didn't say what I was thinking because I texted.
Okay, so what did, I don't have a lot of time. What did she tell you that upset you?
Okay. Well, her latest thing now is she's interested in a guy, and the guy has a girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And the girlfriend is going to be going overseas, so she wants to move in on and try to break up their relationship and take the guy for herself.
Okay. And So what's your question for us then?
My question is, it seems like she only wants to be woman to woman, adult to adult when I agree with her.
Yeah.
So I sent the text to my husband. My husband said everything you wrote was accurate and true and straightforward, but don't send it to her because she only wants the adult to adult, woman to woman relationship when you agree with her. She's only going to read that text as mom lecturing her.
All right. So, because now, I don't have a lot of time,
I'm in my early 50s. I've had times in my life where people have told me what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. And, you know, looking back, of course, I appreciate it. And even at the time, I appreciated it.
Right. Okay.
Because
so I'm going to get Dave in the little bit of time we have. He's the wisest on the panel here. So
he's the oldest.
That's true.
He's got wisdom beyond Amanda and me. What do you think,
Dave? I would say what's on your heart, Elaine, but I would only say it once. I wouldn't go over and over and over it again. And I put it in the context of you want to have a woman-to-woman relationship. I'm going to talk to you woman-to-woman right now. And this is what I'm thinking, and I won't bring it up again, but I want you to know this is what I'm thinking. Because secrets don't work. Keeping things inside don't work. That just postpones the whole process of growing up.
And, you know, I would be saying things to her like, I love you so much, and what hurts me is that somehow you think that you need to manipulate a situation and attract a man who is already involved with someone versus to be pursued by someone that you know you will be pursued in the right time, in the right way, and to be patient with that and not think that you have to do something like this, which is scheming, conniving, whatever. But let her know whatever she does, you're there for her, and here's the key. You say, this is what an adult relationship is. It's we don't stomp off angry, upset, frustrated just because somebody disagrees. We love. And even though I don't like what you're doing, I love you, and I want to stay connected with you no matter what.
But I want to share my heart with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And so then you're not shaming her, and then she doesn't have a valid excuse to separate herself from you just because you don't agree with her. A lot of times, you know, we don't agree and then we blame and shame and all that. And that's why the person backs off. Well, you don't need to do that. But I do. I like it what Dave said. Tell her what you're thinking there. Let her know how you feel.
And Elaine, no text. No texting this.
No.
That's my practical advice to you. Don't text, especially if you have a problem with a dramatic relationship. That is too easy to forward and take a picture of and send to everybody and create drama. You just need to talk to her face to face when you're sharing your emotions.
Woman to woman.
Yeah. I you would never text, I don't think, I'd like to divorce you. And so just don't text major life things here.
I've heard some who do that.
Oh, my goodness. Have the conversation. I hope something we've said is great. And I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and maybe that'd be a great gift for her. And she does sound like she's really struggling to make some good, solid adult decisions. On January the 11th, Every Man's Battle is in Washington, D.C. Finding Freedom is the next weekend, January the 20th. Well, two after that, January 25th in D.C., whatever you're struggling with, we can help you there at Finding Freedom. And then it's February the 15th for Intimacy and Marriage, and then Restore, March the 1st. We have counselors all over this country, recovery groups all over. But for us to tell you about them, you're going to have to call us, and we'd love for you to do that. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the phone number, 1-800-NEW. LIFE. Please let us help you. It could be the beginning of a whole new way of seeing things, of doing things in a different way that produce the outcome that you've wanted for your life. And God will be honored. As we close out the program, got to ask you to help us here. It's year end, and so much of what we do depends on your support. Maybe this is a tough season, and that causes you to want to bless somebody. You can bless somebody by giving to this ministry. Maybe it's a scholarship fund. Maybe it's just helping us to stay on the air. I don't know how you want to give or what you want to do, but we can help make your gift so important and valuable. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Dave and Amanda. We'll see you all here tomorrow, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need help or you can help us. It's the same number.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.